The Shepherd Study, helping pastors discover literature to broaden their ministries. This week, we look at James, part of the Zondervan Exegetical Commentary on the New Testament, by Craig Blomberg and Miriam Kamel. Our reviewer this week is Pastor Dan Waldschmidt. Craig Blomberg, Ph.D., University of Aberdeen, is Distinguished Professor of New Testament at Denver Seminary. He is author of 17 books and more than 80 articles in journals and multi-author works. Miriam Kamel, Ph.D., University of St. Andrews, is Assistant Professor of New Testament at Regent College. She is the author of several scholarly articles on James. Her dissertation focuses on soteriology in James and its relationship to earlier Jewish wisdom literature. This commentary is part of the Zondervan Exegetical Commentary Series. This series has a unique layout. The commentary for each paragraph is broken down into several sections. The first section is literary context, which shows how the paragraph fits into the overall flow of the letter. The next is main idea, which may help in coming up with a main thought for a sermon. The three following sections are translation, structure, and exegetical outline. Then follows the section entitled Explanation of Text. This section gives the Greek of each verse and makes exegetical comments based on the Greek. This would be especially helpful for text study. The final section for each paragraph is Theology in Application. This section makes specific contemporary applications. These features make the Zondervan Exegetical Commentary a useful series for preaching. Blomberg and Kamel's volume on James is a strong contribution to this series. Blomberg and Kamel say that there are three main emphases in James. 1. Trials and temptations. 2. Wisdom and speech. And 3. Wealth and poverty. While these themes are helpful and certainly present in James, one wonders why faith and works are not included as one of the main emphases. Blomberg and Kamel treat faith and works under the theme of wealth and poverty, because James discusses faith and works in that context. In chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, James says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." But it should not be missed that for James, the issue of faith and works is broader than the specific application in helping the poor. The issue of faith and works extends to everything he says throughout the letter. For example, in chapter 1, verse 22, James says, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." This is connected to the command that James had just given: "Be slow to speak and slow to become angry." Blomberg and Kamel's second major theme, wisdom and speech, could also be questioned. It seems like wisdom and speech are two separate things. Yes, James wants us to be wise in the way we use God's gift of speech, but it seems that wisdom in James is also connected to the theme of trials. Since James' directive to ask for wisdom comes directly after his exhortations to consider trials as pure joy, it makes sense to think that James wants us to ask God for wisdom to view trials in a positive light. Wisdom in James has to do with more than just speech. It also has to do with the way we look at trials. Nevertheless, it is true that those three themes, trials, speech, poverty and wealth, are very important to James. I highlighted these three themes in a recent Bible class on James. Blomberg and Kamel give a good treatment of each of these three themes. On trials, they offer the following helpful comments. Quote, "To begin with, James does not command us to wear artificial happy faces that so many seem to think are required in church or other Christian circles. Denying one's true emotions seldom accomplishes anything good. But while we cannot will ourselves to be jovial rather than depressed, we can choose how to think," end quote. And, quote, Indeed, when Christians rely on God to preserve them, they grow, mature, and come out the other side of the trials stronger and more whole. Character traits our world desperately seeks, but desires to gain without the suffering that is usually required to obtain them. End quote. On Wisdom and Speech, they offer the following. Quote, in Colorado, where both this book's authors have lived and taught, careless campers who leave one ember burning in a campfire can start wildfires that destroy tens or even hundreds of thousands of acres. James's point, by saying the tongue is a fire, is that the tongue can have the same effect. One careless statement can ruin careers and destroy lives. End quote. On issues of poverty and wealth, James says many things that challenge us to think about wastefulness and materialism. See especially chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Some authors, Pedrito Maynard Reed and Elsa Tamez, even argue that, for James, one cannot be both rich and Christian. Blomberg and Kamel do a good job of staying well-balanced. On the one hand, wealth is not a bad thing in and of itself. James gives Abraham and Job as examples of true believers. They were both blessed with wealth. On the other hand, James does warn that wealth can be turned into an idol. The following comments by Blomberg and Kamel strike a good balance. Quote, despite some who have argued that for James one cannot be both rich and Christian, we have seen that chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, are best understood as depicting rich Christians, while chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, treats believers who are at least middle group, if not more well-to-do. But it is true in these texts that James strongly warns followers of Jesus not to trust in material resources, nor forget their transience. Rather, we should use our surplus possessions to help the world's neediest, especially impoverished fellow believers. End quote. At the very end of the commentary, Blomberg and Kamel provide a helpful wrap-up section on the theology of James. They have a separate section on many important themes in James: wealth and poverty, trials and temptations, wisdom and speech, prayer, faith and works, law and word, God, Christology, and eschatology. They end by asking whether there is a unifying motif. The unifying motif they propose is this, quote, because God never wavers in his character or purposes, believers should shun all duplicity or vacillation in their allegiance and obedience to Christ, and emulate God's trustworthy consistency. End quote. You can, indeed, see this motif in much of the letter. It's inconsistent to have faith and no deeds. It's inconsistent to praise God and curse human beings. It's inconsistent to favor the rich over the poor. It's inconsistent to be double-minded, with loyalties divided between God and the world. James wants us to strive for consistency, always depending on our gracious God who gives every good and perfect gift and who does not change like shifting shadows. Overall, this is an excellent commentary that will be helpful to a pastor who is preaching or teaching James.